A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Some who had come down from Judea were instructing the brothers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the Mosaic practice, you cannot be saved." Because there arose no little dissension and debate by Paul and Barnabas with them, it was decided that Paul, Barnabas, and some of the others should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. The apostles and elders, in agreement with the whole church, decided to choose representatives and to send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. The ones chosen were Judas, who is called Barsabbas, and Silas, leaders among the brothers. This is the letter delivered by them. "The apostles and elders, your brothers, to the brothers in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia of Gentile origin, greetings. Since we have heard that some of our number, who went out without any mandate from us, have upset you with their teachings and disturbed your peace of mind, we have with one accord decided to choose representatives and to send them to you along with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, who have dedicated their lives to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are sending Judas and Silas, who will also convey the same message by word of mouth. It is the decision of the Holy Spirit and of us not to place on you any burden beyond these necessities, namely, to abstain from meat sacrificed to idols, from blood, from meat of strangled animals, and from unlawful marriage. If you keep free of these, you will be doing what is right. Farewell." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the book of Revelation. The angel took me in spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city of Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. It gleamed with the splendor of God. Its radiance was like that of a precious stone, like jasper, clear as crystal. It had a massive high wall with 12 gates where 12 angels were stationed, and on which names were inscribed, the names of the 12 tribes of the Israelites. There were 3 gates facing east, 3 north, 3 south, and 3 west. The wall of the city had 12 courses of stones as its foundation, on which were inscribed the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. The city had no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gave it light, and its Lamb was the Lamb. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have told you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you, I am going away and I will come back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus tells us in the Gospel of John today, "Peace I leave you, my peace is my gift to you. Do not be afraid." Peace is a gift that truly comes from the Holy Spirit. We often pray for peace. Indeed, people or ethnic groups within a country that have been at war with one another off and on for decades may fervently desire peace. In our first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we heard of the no little dissension or debate going on in the church of Antioch. Even in the church, they search for peace. Peace and reconciliation is necessary. Though, as we know from experience, peace never comes cheap and seldom comes easy. Peace takes work. It takes sacrifice. And if we wish to make peace with someone, we must be willing to sacrifice our so-called rights, our pride, and our refusal to admit that in whatever way we may be part of the problem. Peace, no more than justice, never comes cheap. Nor do we have to fight for it. More often than not, we have to fight ourselves for it. Note that peace and reconciliation with the Father was obtained by Jesus through the blood of the cross, through a violent death. For peace never comes easy. It involves sacrifice. Think about in your own life, perhaps when you ask for a moment, when you say, "I wish I had peace of mind," whether it's some problem that's come up in the family, whether it might be unemployment or health or some other problem that has come up, that you just wish at that moment you had some kind of peace of mind, and peace of heart. So often we look to others to maybe reconcile a situation when we see that peace no longer exists within a family or within a neighborhood or with even a parish. We want that peace. And of course, as Christians, we always seek that peace from the Lord Himself. And that's why, as I say, the gift of peace comes really from the Holy Spirit. When we think of peace, of course, we think of maybe at times when we're going through a discernment process, we're trying to think about making a big decision. We hope that once we've gone through the process of discernment, of making a decision about a particular situation, a particular event, that in the end we'll have some sense of peace, that if peace stays with you, that's a good sign that you've made a good decision. Or couples who I've prepared for marriage, many times in the last session I'll say, "Are you at peace with the decision? Don't worry about all the extras that come with marriage, especially the wedding day and all that goes on with that particular day. That will come and go quickly, but in terms of the marriage and the person you are marrying, are you at peace with that person? Is it someone that you know in your own heart you've made the right decision? If you are, then there's a certain serenity as you approach the sacrament of marriage." I find the same thing in terms of peace with the young men at our seminary at Mundelein, especially during these days. Many of the one-on-one conferences with the men who are going to be ordained priests in just a few weeks, I always ask the question, "Are you at peace with this decision? You've been discerning and thinking and praying and deciding for many years. Does God want me to be a priest? Does the church confirm that?" And yet, in that moment, when one-on-one, when you have an opportunity to ask in a prayerful moment, "Is there peace in your decision?" and the answer is yes, then you can kind of see it on their face, and there's a tranquility about them, and they know that they've made a good decision because they've made it through prayer and good discernment. I was thinking during these days, too, of May, that we celebrate First Communions. Now, I don't want any cards and letters and gifts today, but today, May 5th, is the 45th anniversary of my First Communion. That's right. On May 5th, thank you. I made my First Communion on May 5th, and I remember it very well. It was a sunny day. I remember it at Our Lady of the Snows Parish on the southwest side, and I remember what great joy I had because my father was a tailor, and he made my suit. And so it was a day to show off the new suit. My sister had just been married 2 weeks previous. She came home early from her honeymoon so she could be at my First Communion, and there was a nice party. But here's what I remember even more than that. I remember the rehearsals, constant rehearsals, because we were in a Catholic grammar school every single day. Miss Sullivan and Sister Catherine trounced us through the church and to practice for that big day. And what I remember most was that I liked to sing, and so they would sing the song the living God, and my heart is full of joy. And so I would sing it real loud, and Sister Catherine, during one rehearsal, went out of her way to yell, "James Presta, you sing too loud. Stop it." And I've been singing loud ever since, despite her. I've got the upper hand now. But there, in all seriousness, I remember a great joy and a great sense of peace receiving my First Communion. It was something I wanted so much as a child. Isn't that amazing how First Communion memories seem to stay with you all through your life? I don't know about you, but certainly for me and many people I've talked to over the years, there's something special about that day and that moment between you and the Lord. And certainly not only between you and the Lord, but also all of us who are part of the body of Christ. And so as these days, as we now prepare for the Feast of the Ascension and Pentecost in the next week or two and two, we pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will unfold its sevenfold gifts upon us. That just like at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles and brought them the gifts of the Spirit, so too from the time of our baptism, when we received the grace of the Holy Spirit through our confirmation, through all the sacraments, and even today, as we receive the gifts of bread and wine that come from the earth, we bless them and ask the Holy Spirit to transform these gifts into the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. Even today, we have that sense of peace that comes to us from the Holy Spirit. May we pray for peace, peace in our world, peace in our hearts, peace in our own souls, peace in our parish, in our neighborhoods, from the places where we work, in our schools. May that peace, that true sense of peace that comes from Christ, which is beyond all understanding, be in our hearts and minds, that the love of Christ that He has for us will always be with us and remain with us forever.